Public Safety Committee will come to order. We do have a quorum. Need a motion to approve the minutes of March 12th. Representative Savick moves those minutes. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Holberg, you're first on the agenda. Would someone like to move Representative Holberg's bill? Representative Kelly moves House File 1870. Welcome to the committee, Representative Holberg. Representative Kelly also will move the 871 and the A1 amendments. Is there any discussion on the amendments?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if you, the A1 amendment, do you want me to give a little background on what this
is
before us?
I was just trying to get it in the shape you wanted it, but do you want to offer that? Do you want the A1 amendment to go on?
I would love it if both amendments made it on,
okay.
But as you will see, the 871 didn't even come close to meeting a 24-hour rule. I don't even know if it made a 24-minute rule.
The chair will waive the rule unless there's objections. Okay. Very good. Representative Holder, you want to explain the amendments before we
certainly. Well, maybe I can start with the bill. Actually, I'm here before you today basically as a mule carrying a portion of a policy whereby when the Sunset Commission was sunsetted last year, the Legislative Commission on Fiscal Planning was directed to review all of the advisory councils throughout the state system and make recommendations as to those that were no longer functioning needed and to make recommendations on which ones should be extended. There was kind of a blanket expiration implemented in 2009, and unfortunately there were a large number of groups that just kept meeting not knowing that they'd actually been sunsetted, so we had this big mishmash across state government of different groups, that some that had expired that were still meeting, some that were still in place but hadn't met in some cases for over a decade. So this is an attempt to clean all that up. I'm guessing there's probably 8 or 9 separate bills in each of the policy areas that are going to be married up at some place into this big bill as a result of all the work that the commission did over the interim. So this is the public safety portion of it. My guess is I'm carrying this because it has a repeal of a obsolete battered women's group. And so I suppose nobody in the majority wanted to carry a sensitive issue like that. The reality is that the group is now a task force and done internally within the department. So those functions are still being carried out, but in a different format. The A1 amendment was oversight in that the Auto Theft Prevention Board repeal was in another committee's jurisdiction, and so the A1 amendment takes out the Auto Theft Prevention Board as being addressed in this bill, and that's being done in another committee. The 871 amendment is based on a recommendation by the department, pretty technical in nature, renaming. You can see on lines 1.5 and 1.6 that it's not the advisory council, but rather the domestic abuse director. So again, reflecting the fact that this is not an advisory council anymore, but an in-house task force. Commissioners have the ability to implement task forces without legislative approval within their agencies, and that's what DPS has chosen to do. And there's a woman here from the department. I don't know if you need more information on the A71, but this was only brought to my attention yesterday.
That's Representative Hall, but let's act on your A1 amendment, because I have some questions about the 871 amendment.
Okay.
So Representative Kelly moves the A1 amendment to House File 1870. Is there any discussion on that amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. Representative Holbrook, I have a bill right after yours that I introduced before Governor Dayton decided to do the unsession session, because I had seen these, having taken an interest in this issue, it's been 15 years since the Advisory Council on Battered Women has ever been used, as far as I know, and so I thought about getting rid of it a long time ago. So my bill does that. I don't want my bill to conflict with your amendment if your amendment does that, and I don't know if it does. So, Ms. Pirius, do you... There's no point in doing both, I don't think.
And
so this member of the majority did decide to get rid of it, and there's no problem getting rid of it because it's obsolete, it doesn't meet, it doesn't exist, and it never will.
Well, Mr. Chair, when this issue was being discussed, I remember fondly my days as a freshman sitting next to you in the Judiciary Committee, which was about 15 years ago.
What are we doing here?
And remembering that there was total dysfunction within this program and people behaving badly, for lack of a better term around this whole issue. So I was a little surprised and went down memory lane when this issue was brought before the Legislative Commission on Fiscal Planning Group. I'm agnostic as far as whether you want to delete out all of the references in my bill and just take care of the getting rid of them in your bill. I just, again, I'm the mule for this portion of this policy process, and again, this bill comes as a result of that comprehensive process, and not really part of an unsession. It's more in reaction to getting rid of the Sunset Commission,
okay.
But still having some ability to get rid of obsolete
things. Let's find out which bill, if your amendment, my bill does the same thing, then we can just... You do your amendment, but Ms. Pirius, do you?
Mr. Chair, members, I've been going through it quickly, but it looks like your bill is repealing Section 611A.345, and Representative Holberg's amendment is amending it. But technically, I think you would end up with the same thing because we're getting rid of the Advisory Council. And this would put the domestic abuse program director in charge of it.
Okay, that's fine then. So does someone from OJP, I mean, is there anyone from MCBW here, I mean, the Coalition for Battered Women? Mr. Carlson, are there any Ms. Moses, any objections to this? Is it the right thing to do? Okay. OJP is the right thing to do? Okay. Let the record show that heads were nodding in the affirmative. Representative Holberg, okay, so now we'll move the, Representative Kelly moves the 871 amendment. All those in favor of that, any discussion, all those in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. So now we have, do you want to say anything more? Do you have any testifiers, Representative Holberg?
Mr. Chair, again, I'm kind of the mule. I don't think there's any testifiers here. If you look at the bill summary as prepared by House Research, you can see that we're deleting the advisory group with the COPS grants. That we don't have COPS grants anymore. The weed and seed grants, we don't do those anymore. The renaming of the director of the battered women's program occurred as a result of the 871 amendment, but the advisory council, as you stated, that hasn't met in 15 years and was pretty dysfunctional when it did meet, you know, is reflected in this bill. And then it also addresses, after the A1 amendment, the fact that the Fire Service Advisory Committee should continue to function, and in fact its actions since 2009 are affirmed and are valid. The Auto Theft Prevention Advisory Board will continue as well, but under a bill, I believe, that goes to the Commerce Committee. And then you can see under Section 8 of the bill, those are four the four boards and committees that are actually repealed.
Okay. Any questions of Representative Holberg? Any questions on House File 1870? Seeing none, does anyone from the audience wish to speak for or against this bill? Then Representative Kelly renews his motion that House File 1126 be as amended, 1870, as amended, be re-referred to the Government Operations Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair of the Committee, and I appreciate your waiving the amendment to the less than 24 minutes.
The Vice Chair is not here, and I have two bills up. Representative Kelly, you want to take a shot? Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, you'd like to move.
which is the first one that's on?
2755.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move House File 2755. This is the Department of Corrections unsession bill, and Representative Cornish, Representative Holberg, Lesh, and myself met with the Department of Corrections to examine their recommendations for the unsession. We asked a lot of questions of them. We did not adopt or accept some of their recommendations. We did others. And it's not that some of the ones that we rejected weren't valid or appropriate or shouldn't have been part of the bill, but they were either controversial or realizing in the short session that it could take a long time to sort of deal with all of the issues that were raised. So I'm hoping that these are, but feel free to ask questions. I am not going to go through the bill step by step, but I'd like the department to come up and do that.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Tom Roy, Commissioner of Corrections.
And I'm Terry Carlson, Deputy Commissioner for the Facilities Division.
Go ahead with your
We testimony. Are prepared to go in great detail with these remaining issues and modifications if the Chair so requires. Usually when we sit here, we talk about issues of great substance, sometimes life and death, mortality rates, projections of population, and issues of mental health and suicide and things of great substance. This varies significantly from that. These issues could be characterized as redundant, archaic, and have no impact on our operations or procedures. But they certainly fit the goal of the unsession, and there is language here that we believe certainly can be modified, eliminated entirely, and serve the purpose that it's intended to do. I can go page by page, and Deputy Carlson and I are prepared to do that, and we can do that with great zeal and efficiency.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think I'll look for some guidance from the members of the committee. Do we have maybe specific questions or areas of questions that
Chair, I'm wondering if Commissioner Carlson could just at least give us a brief explanation of what is being deleted and what is redundant, what is obsolete, and maybe that'll pique members'
to ask for their details.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Roy or Deputy Commissioner Carlson, would you go ahead and
Mr. Chair and members, thanks for having us here today. I'll start off on page 1 and in section 1.18. We are deleting an obsolete reference to inmates serving on board of directors or holding executive positions that are subordinate to correctional staff on prison corporations, industry, or educational programs. We used to have a program like this, and it was not successful. On page 2, 2.24, we are deleting an obsolete reference to the MCF SOC Center, which no longer exists. On page 3.27, we used to have a prepare program, and honestly, none of us can remember what this acronym is, and so it's an outdated and obsolete program. Although we have plenty of useful, valuable programs, we've created new acronyms. On page 4, at the very top, 4.3 through 4.6, that is about an orientation program that we used to do long, long ago at the University of Minnesota for probation and parole agents. We no longer do that, so it's obsolete. Then we go to There's lots of information about the Corrections Interstate Compact, and the first change is at the bottom of 18. And this, the changes in statute are consistent with the process that is. Do you want to talk about the compact?
Mr. Chair, I can respond to this. I previously chaired the Minnesota Council on Interstate Compact. There is a very robust national organization that has promulgated all the rules around the Interstate Compact and the transfer of inmates between states. And currently in this country, there's about 250,000 offenders that are supervised in states other than where they were convicted. And there's a very enhanced bureaucracy around all of those offenders. And this language is regularly reviewed by the National Commission. And these changes reflect those changes at the national level that all the states that belong to the compact sign on to. So I am very confident, and one of our local our Department of Corrections staff that we have associated with this task serves on that national commission. So I'm very confident that this interstate compact language becomes consistent with the national language through page 28, I believe that is. Am I correct?
Yes. There's also language about interstate compact on juveniles that is of the same nature that Commissioner Roy spoke of.
And there are four legislators that serve on the Interstate Compact Commission in this state.
So then, if we go to the repealers, which are after page 30, .022 grants in aids to counties for adult detention facilities and programs. We have not distributed any funds to counties for quite some time for construction of adult detention facilities. I think it's been 15 years. We had received long ago also some federal funds for that purpose, and those sources of money have not been available recently. The 241.0221 Juvenile Detention Services Subsidy Program. Again, the Department of Corrections has not distributed any funds to counties for construction of juvenile detention facilities in over 15 years as well.
Mr. Chair, I might be able to add to that.
Yes, Commissioner Roy.
We're very pleased that actually the juvenile detention population is declining in the state of Minnesota. There are, most juvenile facilities are far under capacity, and we believe that's good news for the state. And there's been lots of resources put towards juvenile work, and I think it's finally paying off, and I'm very pleased to say that.
Also being repealed is 241.024, which is designation of Chief Executive Officer of State Correctional Facilities. This is just a redundant statute. This provision is covered in 241.01, Subdivision 3, Paragraph G. 241.34, penalty for unauthorized release of information. This statute is also redundant, and it's covered under existing data privacy laws in Chapter 13 of Minnesota Statute. 242.37, conservation camps. This statute is obsolete. We do not run conservation camps.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You know, I do want you to sort of say when you go through some of these, because one of the conversations we had was that some of these ideas, which were good ideas, the conservation camps is a good idea, and so like maybe you could say a little bit about how the services and the programs have been replaced, so you're not just saying this is.
Sure.
An obsolete concept, because it's not an obsolete concept, but you're doing it in a different way. Maybe you can explain it a little
bit. Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Roy.
Representative Paymar, the notion of conservation camps, it's one of those things that I would call it archaic language, but you're absolutely right that the notion of wilderness programming, hard work, are central to some juvenile programs that continue to exist in this state. Our Thistledew program in Togo could be considered a conservation camp, but it also is a treatment program that involves chemical dependency treatment and cognitive skill development. So it's an advanced level of a conservation camp, and also many counties have taken over most of the juvenile work in this state, and there are individual programs functioning out of the Community Corrections Act counties that have some work crews. They do high adventure kinds of programming occasionally. So it's not a lost concept. They just aren't called conservation camps anymore.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Carlson?
Mr. Chair, thank you. To continue, 242.56, work and learn facilities for use. Again, these programs do not exist, and as Commissioner Roy spoke, there are other services that are available for the youth throughout our state, be it state facilities or county programs. Statute 243.18, work required. This is also a redundant statute. We do require offenders to be productively programmed unless they have, you know, medical reasons why they cannot be. So this is covered under Minnesota Statute 241.01, Subdivision 3A, Paragraph G. Mr. Chair, this is probably my favorite one to talk about. This is Statute 243.64, sale of land acquired on collection of debt for articles manufactured or processed by corrections industries. This is an outdated, obsolete statute. We don't want to have the ability to acquire title to any land for obsolete debt. This was when we manufactured farm equipment, and we no longer do that. And I found it interesting to find that in statute. 260.52, definitions used in the Interstate Compact on juveniles. These terms are obsolete in relation to the current compact language. And then finally, 260.54, supplementary agreements. Again, this is to the Interstate Compact on juveniles. This language actually conflicts with the current compact. And that covers our topics.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson. We do have a couple questions. And Representative Blesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Roy or Deputy Commissioner Carlson, can you assure the committee that none of these provisions which you are trying to and would like repealed now, on none of them did you ever request a fiscal note when they were enacted?
Commissioner Roy or Assistant Commissioner Carlson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Blesch, I can't answer that question. Obviously, if I understand your question, were there fiscal notes related to any of these provisions? I have not prepared or researched that particular item.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Roy, I think it's pretty important because we do this dance around here. And again, I'm sure there's nothing wrong with these provisions that you're proposing right now, so this is part of a larger question. But there's a dance around here when we enact a law and an agency comes back and says, wow, that's going to cost a lot of money. We've got to hire at least 15 people. And some of us are suspicious, but we don't know any better. We just got to take your word for it, right? And I really don't want to be in a position where 5 years later I have an agency coming back and saying, well, we never really did any of this anyway. So that's the impetus for my question, and it would be worthwhile for me to know offline later on if you could assure me of that. That's all. Thank you.
See no other questions at this time. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, then Chair Paymire renews his motion.
Where's it going?
It referred to government operations.
That's my motion.
Okay. Chair Paymire renews that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, then I move House File 3017.
Chair moves House File 3017. To your bill.
Mr. Chair, members, this is another unsessioned bill from the governor dealing with the Department of Public Safety, and I would ask them to come up and do as the DOC did and review the bill, what statutes are obsolete and what we're taking out and why.
All right.
Is there, Mr. Chair, is there an amendment to no amendments?
Do not see any amendments, Mr. Chair. Deputy Commissioner Ellison, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. As Commissioner Roy mentioned, the governor asked us to update, clarify, and reduce statutes wherever we could. House File 3017 does that with four different divisions within the Department of Public Safety. One is the Office of Justice Programs, and it updates language and clarifies language, things like the fact that programs for sexual assault and domestic violence were moved from corrections to the Department of Public Safety. They've been part of the Office of Justice Program, so it cleans up that language. Forms that we were directed to create are now being updated, so we've done things like change, create, to update. We've already addressed the Battered Women's Council with the previous bill. In the area of emergency communications networks, there's language that is now no longer needed because the FCC addresses these issues. And so, again, it just removes outdated language that is being covered in other manners. For the State Fire Marshal's Office, it eliminates the arson report, which was an old report that people really didn't participate in. It was old technology. It's been replaced by our fire records database that is has been updated and people report into, and we produce a report on fire in Minnesota on a regular basis. For the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, it...
Where are you?
I'm sorry, I was just going through each division within the department. Right now, I am with the... Article 2 was Emergency Communications Network.
The Fire Marshal.
And then Article 3 was the State Fire Marshal, at least in the version that I have.
Yeah. Yes.
And then finally, in the area of the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, Section 1 of that part was... the language was left over from when the Bureau was a separate entity. It was consolidated into the Department of Public Safety in 1969.
Excuse me, Ms. Ellison, I believe, just for members, we're on page 10, Article 4 right now. Okay. Thank you.
Another change to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is that suspense statistics are now available on a public website. The cell provider language that was passed in 2010 is no longer needed to work with wireless providers. We're also removing some language from pre-1969 that related to the Bureau, and again, the Bureau was moved to the Department of Public Safety in 1969. Under the area that involves storage of motor vehicles, those reports really were never made to the Bureau, and there's really no way to enforce that they be made to the Bureau. There's language that we're cleaning up regarding radio broadcasting stations that are no longer utilized because it's outdated technology. And then finally, grant review by the Governor's Commission on Crime Prevention and Control. That group has not been in existence for 20 years. And I have division directors from each of those divisions if there are specific questions.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Ellison. We do have a question, Representative Schoen.
You got it.
All right, Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deputy Commissioner Ellison, can you assure the committee that for these provisions you're asking to be repealed or redacted, that you have never requested a fiscal note on them?
Deputy Commissioner Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative Blesch, this language is so old and outdated, I really would not be able to answer that question.
Okay.
Representative Blesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deputy Commissioner Ellison, I presume you know why I'm asking, for the same reasons you were here when I asked that of the Commissioner of Corrections. I think it's pretty important for us to know that. Because of this novel approach of the unsession, it's been brought up that there may be some cost savings here, and we're never aware of that. So I'm not going to make the same speech I did with respect to the Department of Corrections, but if you can let me know if there is a way for you to discern that, it's one of the factors I have to look at in making determination of whether I can support this. So I appreciate that.
Deputy Commissioner Ellison?
Mr. Chair, Representative Blesch, to go back to 1969 when the Bureau was funded and funding was requested, I just couldn't. I don't even know if that information exists or not. With old radio broadcast systems, they've been replaced by new systems. So we can do our best, but I don't know that we can provide a lot of information that would be helpful. A lot of the duties that we're talking about, we've already incorporated into the work of the agency. So, for instance, to create forms, we update them every year, so rather than creating them, we're updating them. So the difference in cost would be minimal at best.
Tim Lesh, anything further?
Mr. Chair, Deputy Commissioner Ellison said that she would do her best, so that's what I would appreciate, is seeing something. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, do you know what happened to the data, the domestic abuse data? I thought there was an amendment that was...
I do not have an amendment at the desk here.
Ms. Taken-Holtzey, can you just tell us what happened to the amendment? Or is that going on another bill?
It's my understanding that it may be added before government operations. That there is an amendment, but it's not ready.
Thank you.
Would you like to speak to that amendment at all?
No.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Representative Uglem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, I guess, on some new language that's included at the bottom of page 5, section 10, the grants. Deputy Commissioner, wondering just how much, what is the dollar amount of these grants? And it says that we're providing support services. What type of services are these?
Commissioner Olson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, they are grants for domestic violence programs, sexual assault programs, and programs that serve other victims of crime. I believe that the total amount is somewhere around $30 million that is awarded, both state and federal grants, to those programs throughout the state.
Representative Uglem?
No follow-up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Schoen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this is probably more of a curiosity thing. I think what would have been helpful, and I don't doubt that this would have been a lot of work, but when you talked about the radio station or radio broadcasting, it would have just been nice to see, well, what was that, and then what was it replaced with? And I think that might have helped alleviate a lot of questions related to staffing, because it wasn't like you could just get rid of the staff because that was gone. You probably replaced equipment, and I understand that. So I think that might be for Department of Public Safety folks that might be carrying these bills forward from, or anywhere else, not just this bill, but those types of comparisons or short explanations would be helpful in a packet, and then they might answer questions ahead of time, just for simplification. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, after the show, and someone can, there's staff here that can explain it if you'd like to, some clarification.
I feel comfortable with it. I think that it just is one of those things that we, you know, well, I won't say what I was going to say. The unsession theory, right? I mean, these are things that we want to do all the time, and now that everybody's been saddled with, they're getting rid of outdated laws that don't pertain to anything, which is great. And you guys have probably spent more time and money to do that than was budgeted for last year. So I don't know how much money we ate up in the budget to try to get this stuff to the table, but that might have just simplified it, because now you can see when we're talking about some of these things, then people get concerned and go, well, wait a second. Well, like Representative Paymar asked, well, these are replaced by things. So don't assume that we just got rid of a program and went, we're done with it, and we're not doing something to fix it. That's what I'm talking about, is maybe that side-by-side that came through to show, don't worry, folks, things are still being taken care of. No, we couldn't get rid of staff or couldn't lighten the staffing load because they were transferred to a different program, or because we replaced the analog equipment with digital equipment. It maybe looks like we got rid of a radio station, but it wasn't a radio station, and maybe it was, I don't know. But however you handled it, or communications between sites, or yeah, that's all I'm kind of getting
Mr.
at.
Chair. I will take some responsibility for not giving more direction to the departments to do that, because when we had our meeting with the departments, we went through each section step by step and asked those questions, and then they said, this entity is now doing this. You know, so we went through it all in meeting. And so you don't have a document that does what you're saying, which would have been helpful. And I don't know going forward, and I don't know if other committees are doing that, but that I think that we don't know. So that would have been helpful, and I should have really asked. I thought we were going to have a much more detailed explanation of what we were doing and why we were doing it and what's taking the place of some of these
Mr. Chair, Representative, we can certainly have each division director come down and answer all those questions.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I don't think that's necessary. Not for me. All I was saying is that even if you were to say that I mean, I understood that you met, and if you had gone, if you go through, if whoever presents these goes through and says, we all met, bipartisanly discussed these things, and these are good, and then I, you know, personally, I'll accept that your word for that at that point on that issue. So I don't know that we need everybody down here to answer every single question. I'd be happy to get the trivial answer about the radio station or something later on.
I'm feeling that we should have, you know, scheduled some more bills for today because we have a gazillion bills to hear next week. And I thought this would be a much more lengthy, in-depth discussion, and that's not happening, and it's in part because of what you're saying. But we have staff here. We have 45 minutes. If you really have specific questions, we should deal with them so they don't come up on the floor, really. I mean, I'd rather deal with them in committee.
Chair PMR, we do have a couple more people with questions. Maybe they'll come up, and we'll get them answered as we go. Representative Ward?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the points that are being made today, and we have a gazillion bills to hear next week, and right now in the next 45 minutes, we've got a gazillion appointments, so we don't have to prolong. But my question is this, and it comes right from Representative Lesch. And Representative Lesch, last week, I remember, said to the commissioners that were in the audience and the people that were here, I'm going to be asking on unsessioned bills about financial kind of savings. And in my opinion, it would have been helpful to know that, and I don't need to know, I'm appreciative that, you know, you're explaining why and what. That's very important. But if we could at least have some kind of a simple, there is a cost savings of this amount of money or there's no cost savings. And I think that's what has gotten that. I mean, that's the bottom line question, I think, is what, you know, a lot of us would like to know. Maybe I won't speak for my others. I would like to know is there a department savings on the unsessioned bills that we're hearing, or is there not a department savings on the unsessioned bills? Period. That would be my bottom line question. And I just wanted to throw that out. Get to my gazillion appointments. That's all.
Chair Paymar.
Representative Ward, that's a good question. And Representative Lesch, that's a good question. I think that I'm hopeful that there are some savings in the unsessioned bills. From my reading of what we did with the DOC and DPS, there are no savings. There are no savings. What we're simply doing is getting rid of obsolete statutes or statutes that define an objective that either the legislature or the department pursued that is now being, the responsibilities are now being completed by other entities within the department. And so I guess the idea is when you look at those huge statutes books, you know, a couple of years from now, instead of this big, they'll be this big. But, you know, it is unfortunate that we didn't have the time to look at ways of saving money. I think that would have taken, a huge effort. That's all I can say. There's no cost savings that I can see.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Ward.
That helps me, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members, I think what I'm seeing in this bill is being involved with some point in time using a lot of stuff in this public safety bill from my career in law enforcement. A lot of the stuff is no longer being used. It's outdated. It's not even being funded anymore. They've been replaced by other equipment, other technologies. So I do not see any cost savings in this bill. This is just removing language of it, items that are no, and programs that are no longer being used.
Any other questions from members? Anyone in the audience would like to testify for or against this bill? Chair Paymar, closing remarks.
Okay, then, Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 3017 be referred to the Committee on Government Operations.
Okay. Chair Paymar renews his motion that House File 3017 be referred to government operations. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
That's it, I think.
All right. Seeing no other business, meeting is adjourned.